Hello, hello. I feel like my mom when she answers the phone, because she always says that. Hello, hello.
Really?
Or when someone, I think it's more common when somebody like knocks on the door and she'll like call out, hello, hello, like as in who is it or something like that. I don't know.
Like her hello is, hello, who are you?
Yeah, something like
But it
that.
sounds like hello,
Yeah.
hello.
Anyhow, hello, everybody. It's
And
Melissa.
Nadine.
And welcome to our podcast, The Tapestry of Your Life. We are going over Pastor Doug's sermon from Wednesday, April 10th, 2024, and it's all about how to use the sword of God. And this was so great. I love listening to this message. Because it's very like practical and with the armor and different things, like what I'm kind of a little bit already familiar with, and it was, how to use this weapon specifically, because it had been on my mind, I think, the past week, like how to use and be more involved with like the word of God, like how to apply it,
Yes.
Okay, so the first scripture I have is 2 Corinthians 10 and 3-6, and I'm gonna read it in the Passion Translation. Pastor Doug read it in a couple different translations, so feel free to read it in whatever translation you have. Mine says, "For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the devices behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One." Talking about obedience. "Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience."
I like how you said that because mine, verse 6 says, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. And I was just looking at that as you were reading. I'm like, well, when my obedience is complete, what does that mean? But your translation says when you choose obedience.
Yeah.
So when we choose obedience, that's the completion.
'Cause it's kind of like a war between like your flesh and your spirit sometimes. So like we chose obedience, like, and that's one of the things that we did when we got saved, right? Is we choose to be in the kingdom, right? And to follow Jesus, and that
Right,
comes with
that's our
obedience, right?
obedience,
Like
yeah.
that's the obedience. And so as soon as there's any trace of rebellion, like with our flesh, that's why we crucify our flesh.
Right, we
So,
tell it and sit down and shut
yeah, and like your mind, your will, your emotions, like thoughts that come in, like that's why we're capturing those thoughts, right? It says we capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bows in obedience. Like it has to bow to the choice that we made.
Yes, when I learned to do that totally changed the whole of my life.
Yeah.
And it's so much better. You know, when you're around somebody that's out of control, it's not enjoyable being around them.
Right.
So when your brain, your mind, your will, your emotions are out of control, you don't even enjoy being around you. So learning that I can actually stop a thought mid-sentence and replace it with the truth of God's word. And it just became a habit. You know, in the beginning, I had to make a conscious effort.
Yeah.
But now it's just who I am. And it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to, if you haven't started arresting these thoughts and capturing emotions and your spirit with the word of God telling it what to do and how to behave. Start doing it today.
Yeah. And I like how it said earlier, it's not like human weapons. So you can't do it in like your own strength.
Right.
Right? It's the spiritual weapons. It's energized with divine power. That's what's going to dismantle everything. And so, like, you don't have to, like, if you try and force yourself and try and do it in your own human strength, it's not going to work.
It starts that way, though.
Yeah.
It's an act of our will, a choice. So, I mean, you talked about standing this morning. When you want to stand, you have to give some effort.
Yes.
But once the momentum happens, then standing, you're fine.
Right.
So it's like that with thoughts and emotions and your will. It takes a choice, and then you got to activate the motion. But then the fuel comes in of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the power of God's word.
So it's like our initial faith and obedience and our choice, like, gives you the momentum to get started.
Right.
And then Holy Spirit can help keep you going.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure I wanted to know, what are some weapons that we have?
Right.
And I actually have a note before I say that. It says, a different way of fighting leads to a different way of winning.
Yes.
So that was a good reminder for me that, okay, you can fight differently because, you know, different strategies and stuff, but that there's also a different way of winning. Like, was it Jehoshaphat who had the singers, like, go before everybody else and the trumpets and all of thing? Like, the musicians all went first before, like, all the soldiers, and they didn't even need the soldiers then.
Right.
So some of the weapons that we have, right, for these different ways of fighting, we have the name of Jesus, we have the blood of Jesus, we have the armor, which is referenced in Ephesians 6, I have praise, worship, and prayer, which Pastor Doug said was like the Air Force.
Yes.
Right? When we have the sword of the Spirit and supernatural help.
And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God.
Yes.
Yes, I have all those things.
Okay. Because I think he also mentioned them as we went along, and then I went back and keep adding to the list.
Right.
Like, oh, there's another one.
I've learned to leave some gaps so that I can fill in.
Yeah. Okay, so referencing the armor, which I know I also talked about today, is in Ephesians 6.
Yes. The sword of the Spirit is our offense.
Yeah.
And it's God's word in my mouth. Which we talked about that before in the blessing, how the word of God needed to be spoken with our mouth.
Yes. So, I'm going to read it in the Passion. It says, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God.
Yes.
So, and there's a footnote in the Passion that says, so the razor sharp Roman sword was used in close combat.
Huh.
So, like, when people, I think of it, you know, when people get all up in your face, or, you know, like, you come face to face with, like, demons and that sort of stuff, they're manifesting, operating in other people, like, that's, we use our mouth, right? And we use the word of God. Like, it is the spoken word of God.
Yes.
Not just like, oh, I know that scripture in my head, it's memorized. Like, well, it's great that you know it, but you gotta also speak it.
Say it, yes.
Yeah, say it. So, the next note I have is about, you know, to develop these weapons and your weaponry during times of peace, right? Yes. Like, sharpen your sword before it's time for war, basically. Like, you kind of prepare and build up your armory and that kind of stuff, knowing that you're about to go to battle.
Right.
If you wait till battle, it's too late then.
Yes.
Like, it just takes too much time and drains energy and resources because you're also fighting and trying to do other stuff at the same time.
And that's when you end up calling in reinforcements, which is fine, but it shouldn't be the way you always fight.
Right.
It's for emergencies. Okay, I wasn't prepared for this battle. Lord, send me help.
Yeah.
But we need to be developing our skill. Pastor Doug kept using the word wield the sword. I'm like, oh, I want to. That's a funny sounding word that I'm not as familiar with, but I hear it.
Yeah.
So I looked it up, and it's to hold and use a weapon or a tool.
Hmm.
So it's the holding and the using.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, God fights for us, like, because the battle belongs to the Lord.
Right.
So, it's, like, he's on our team, he's on our side.
Yes, which the perfect example of this is David and Goliath.
Yeah.
David knew his covenant with God, and he spoke it, and he used the weapon he was used to, which he was used to holding and using, but he used it in conjunction with his words.
Right.
Declaring who his God is and who his enemy is, and that God's fighting for him.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect example of how, what our part is and what God's part is. God could fight. The battle was his. He could fight for any soldier that would have come out and started speaking his words and started making action towards the enemy.
Yeah.
But for 40 days, the soldiers stood still and were silent.
Right.
So I love that picture. The same we talked about Gideon before, too. He was threshing wheat in a wine press to hide from the enemy when God sent a messenger to him to come out and fight. So the enemy was not defeated until someone started listening to God's instructions, God's words, believing them, speaking them, taking action. Then there was many actions along the way. Do this, do this, do this. And that's what we need. As we're using the sword of the Spirit, we need to be listening to God's instructions along the way, each step.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you mentioned Jehoshaphat. That's what he listened to God's instructions. Send the singers and the worshipers ahead of the soldiers.
And yeah.
That's how we participate with winning God's battles.
Yeah, I'm looking at the story of David and Goliath because I was just thinking, like, what words he said and when. Like, because he said at some point, like, I'll cut off your head, but he didn't have a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at the sequence of events again to be like, okay, when did he say that? Was that before he tried on the armor that, like, Saul had for him? Like, the king's armor? Or was that afterwards? Was he planning to use, like, Goliath's sword against him? So I'm looking back, I was looking back at 1 Samuel 17 to see, like, when he said that and different stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, depending upon the time, like, that just goes to show, like, how much confidence David had. Like, he didn't even have a sword, but he would use his own sword against him, right?
Right.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes. So, that's part of holding and using, wielding the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah. And the sword, like, one of the things in the next kind of section is that the sword is, like, for offense. Like, it's for offense and defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Hebrews 4:12, I have a note here that says, the enemy has no defense against the sword, right? And it was talking about how, like, when Holy Spirit was hovering and waiting, like, hovering over the water, it was waiting for the spoken word.
Yes.
It was already present. It was ready to go and do whatever the spoken word said.
Yes.
So, it made me think of the movie. It's called, it's the Mighty Ducks. I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard of it.
Yeah, that's a hockey team or something.
Yeah. So there's three of them, right? Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3. 1 and 2
oh,
are
wow.
the most popular.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I've only seen the third one like once or twice because I don't think it's as good as the first two.
Okay.
However, in that movie, they talk about something called two-way hockey. Right? So the people on the team are required both to know offense and defense. Because before that, you know, they knew their position, like, oh, I'm on the offense side or I'm on the defense side, and they know their position. But in the third one, they had to learn how to do, like, multiple positions.
Okay.
Because of, like, team restrictions or if someone got kicked off the team, like, and they could only play with four players instead of five. And so at the end of the movie, you know, the one person, like, saves the goal and actually scores because he knows how to play, like, offense and defense because they're short a player for
okay.
some foul or something like that.
So they cross-trained.
Yeah, but that's what made me think of, like, the word, with the word of God and the sword, like, it's for offense and defense. It knows every position for everything. So it will defend you and protect you, but also help you go on the offense against your enemy as well.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. Do we want to stop there or keep going?
I think that's a good point to stop at.
Yeah. So, we encourage you to use the sword of the Spirit to, like, cut down the enemy, cut down your own flesh too, and to go on the offense and know your defense.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, everybody.